the future of Utah, Ben McAdams, politicians coming out of the woodwork. I'm Jim DeBacchus on the left.
And Jonathan Johnson's a registered lobbyist who loves Ron Paul. This is Todd Weiler.
Economist magazine called Donald Trump an American tragedy. I agree. This is Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. But first, this news. Good morning. This is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I represent the Political Center, and I'm joined in the studio on the left by Jim DeBacchus.
Good morning, everyone.
I should say Senator Jim DeBacchus. And on the political right, sitting in for Representative Dan McKay, Senator Todd Weiler.
Good morning.
Great to have you in the studio, Todd.
Landslide Todd, as we call him, after
That's
his
right.
one-vote victory in the convention.
61-39 is not one vote.
We love having you represent the right, and let's talk about the right for a minute. We have a governor's race that, a Republican primary between Jonathan Johnson and Governor Gary Herbert. What's interesting about it right now is how timely it is because the mail ballots are about to go out. What are we, just a few weeks away?
About 3 weeks out, yeah.
And a large majority of folks get those ballots and make their choices right away.
Yeah, I think statistically about 40% of the people will mail back the ballot within a day of getting it. So we're about a month out from this primary becoming really real. So
Jonathan Johnson has been causing some trouble for Governor Herbert, Jim. He's been pushing Common Core and education issues, and the governor has changed his position, for lack of a better way to say it.
The governor is being Gary Herbert, and that is vacillating and being weak and putting his finger up and afraid to use that big popularity he has to actually do something in office. So I'm not surprised he's running over to the corner all panicky because Jonathan Johnson is bringing up things. You know what, Governor? Just speak the truth. Find a conviction and start saying it. And you won't have to worry about getting reelected. Stop running around.
Senator Weiler, you are one of the greatest advocates of our great governor.
Well,
give the audience a response.
The governor is doing what governors are supposed to do. He's listening to the people, and he's responding to their concerns. And since the early 80s, our state school board, which is elected and is constitutional in nature, I mean, they're created by the same constitution that creates the legislature. Since the early 80s, they have updated our standards that we use every 5 years or so. The Common Core standards have now been in place for 6 years. And I think that the letter that the governor sent on May 4th to the state school board, if you read it carefully, he's saying, let's look at updating our standards again, which we've been doing for 30 or 40 years. And so I don't think the letter means what some people are think it's meaning. I don't know that, this is a flip-flop. I think people are concerned, and I'm concerned as a parent, that our kids are being over-tested. And he's telling the state school board, number one, he's respecting their authority, which Jonathan Johnson's pretending like he can usurp that authority, which is against our state constitution. And number two, he's saying, do your job and look at these things. And here's some things specifically I want you to look at. And I think that Utahns will reward him for doing that.
What are you predicting, Todd, happens in the Republican primary there?
Oh, the governor wins. The question is, does he get 55%, 65%, 75%? I think all of those are conceivable. Dan Jones came out with a poll this week that had Jonathan Johnson at 23%. Now, he's a multimillionaire, and he's going to spend a lot of money blanketing the airwaves. But I think that with that letter, the governor's taken away the biggest challenge that Jonathan did with the delegates. I was a state delegate, and all he talked about was Common Core. And he wasn't actually honest about what the governor's role is in Common Core. And if he wants to go on Common Core now on the airways, I think that's going to fall flat.
Interesting. Jim, what are you predicting?
Well, then the governor, he gets to have it both ways, as Senator Weiler says. He's against Common Core, and he's for Common Core. So he's, look, let's go back to what Common Core is. Common Core was put together by a group of sensible governors like Mike Leavitt, who saw that 50 states...
who hasn't been governor for a long time,
five of them... out of 50 states, 45 of them were saying, we're in the top five in education. Yeah. Because guess who was making up the measuring stick? States were. And the governors said, you know what? We can fool the public and we can fool the voters, but we can't fool ourselves. We really have to know what's going on in public education. And the way we do that is we measure it against each other states. And that way, at least we're going to know the truth ourselves. And that's what Common Core does. And all of this right-wing tinfoil, crazy conspiracies that this is blah, blah, blah. This was governors led by Republican governors doing a sensible, reasonable thing, which is forcing school districts and state education and governors to face up to real facts and not have made up monkey doo doo facts. And that's what they were doing. For heaven's sakes.
And, you know, I agree with Senator Backus in one sense. A lot of people don't understand what Common Core is. And anything that they don't like about public education, like the new math or the testing, the SAGE testing, they refer to all of that as Common Core, when in reality, they're all three different things. There's, you know, and so Common Core is standard, saying when you finish fourth grade, you should be able to do this with math and this with language arts and this with social studies. There's nothing inherently evil about saying, you know, but when you're done with this grade, you should be at this level. And that's all Common Core was intended to be.
I loved Jim's reference to monkey doo-doo facts. That's a first on both sides of the aisle. But, you know, from the political center, my biggest frustration is I just feel like we're arguing about the things that don't matter. I mean, it's been super glue before a convention. It's been speed dating. And now it's Common Core with all of the loaded emotions around that.
Yeah.
And I want to be talking about keeping this economy strong and helping rural Utah and moving the prison. And I do feel like there's a deficit of that in the governor's race right now.
Well, there is. And I think that JJ, or Jonathan Johnson, he likes to call himself JJ, his campaign does. People don't know him yet. I mean, he's a registered lobbyist. He's a lawyer. He supported, actively, aggressively supported Ron Paul over Mitt Romney 4 years ago and said that Ron Paul would make a better president. And JJ said that his own Mormon faith drove him to support Ron Paul over Mitt Romney. I think the more people get to know Jonathan Johnson, it's not going to turn out well for him.
Jim, I'll look forward to talking about Mike Weinholz and Governor Herbert after the primaries.
We're going to get there. All right.
Let's talk for a minute about what I'm going to refer to as the deep political bench. So, you know, we had Senator Bennett pass away. He would have died in office. We have
Had he won five and a half years ago.
Yeah. Senator Hatch, who is certainly very senior in his years. We have a governor who, if he's reelected, it will be his last term, I believe. And then you always have the congressional races where there's always turnover and change or potential for that. So I'm looking at a picture right now of what I'm calling the strong political bench. It has Spencer Cox, Mayor McAdams, Thomas Wright, Derek Miller, Spencer Eccles, Sophia DeCaro, Jason Perry.
Sophia DeCaro, a one-term state legislator who won by six votes.
Who's terrific.
She worked at GOED for years before that.
Yeah, she's experienced. She's a policy analyst. I even have Matt Holland on the list here. I'm excited for what's to come.
Well, and there's also the people you don't know. I mean, you know, 6 months before Mia Love secured the GOP nomination for Congress, everyone thought it would be Carl Wimmer. I mean, there's always these people that come out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. Chris Stewart was on nobody's radar before he took out Dave Clark for Congress. And, you know, a lot of people just come out of the woodwork. So I'm excited to see that.
I'm hopeful that the woodwork will have somebody.
The woodwork effect.
we need a woodwork.
I think there's a political handoff that's in the making in the next 2 to 4 years. It's going to be fun to watch. Another thing that's just sort of interesting on, you know, governor's race or deep political bench is really what I'll refer to as the modernization of our elections process. And we always confuse that with count my vote, which is, you know, something to talk about. But this vote by mail being in, what'd you say, Todd, in 25 of 29 counties?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I think about 25.
I think it's 70% of the voters now can vote by mail. And that is fundamentally different.
But it's not just that they can vote by mail, but it's really their only option.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not true, because you can take the ballot that was mailed to you and you can go to a polling place on the actual election day. But the only big county that's not doing exclusively vote by mail is Utah County this
June. And it's bound to happen soon. But Jim, that helps participation.
We ought to be thinking of that. The next step. The next step is voting online. That's where we ought to be. That is the natural thing to happen. You know, if I can go to Fidelity and have my entire financial life, or to a bank, I don't know why we can't figure out how to have people vote. That we ought to be working, and I think Senator Bramble is working on being a pioneer there.
More online, good things
online
to come.
Voting.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner. I'm joined by Senator Todd Weiler and Senator Jim DeBacchus. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the UTA.
This is Jim DeBacchus proudly sitting on the left.
And this is Todd Weiler from the right.
Natalie Gochner in the Political Center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm sitting to the right of Jim, and I like it that way. I want to just open up the segment by telling you I got my copy of The Economist magazine this week. Of course, it has a picture of Donald Trump on it, but it uses the term an American tragedy and has a House editorial about how disappointing this is and dangerous this is to the world. Senator Weiler, we've not had you on the program. Tell us what you're reading into this unraveling of the Republican Party, all of the controversy here.
You know, I don't know how many times the media has declared the Republican Party dead. I remember after Clinton was reelected, it was the death of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, we had the House of Representatives back. And then a couple of years after that, we had the Senate. And, you know, I think that there is a schism. That has been very...
Okay, now schism sounds like understatement. Come on, embellish it more than that.
Well, a little divide here with the Republicans.
I mean, you got the... I mean, I don't even have to tell our listening audience, but to have our speaker basically say, I don't know if I can support the nominee for my party.
Well, yeah.
That's more than a schism.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is... No one's excited about Donald Trump, even though he probably has the best chance of beating Hillary out of everybody we had, but... I think there's time is needed to kind of heal some of these wounds, number one. But number two, I think he's buying time to see if there's going to be some harebrained plot to try to overthrow Trump at the convention, at the Republican National Convention in the third week of July, or some viable third party candidate by someone like Mitt Romney. None of those things are going to happen. And eventually, the Republicans are going to decide a vote not for Trump is a vote for Hillary, and they'll rally around him, I think.
And so, Todd, you're in that camp.
Well, I'm not. I want to have a president of the United States that my kids could be proud of, and I don't think Trump fits that. So I'm still a Marco Rubio guy. I'd like to see Trump pick someone good for vice president.
Yeah, you're looking for the things that could make him palatable to you.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I feel a little bit lost and betrayed right now.
Yeah.
It's only one way I vote for Donald Trump. And that is if he names Natalie as his vice president.
No,
that's the only way I'm going down that track.
I've made the decision that when I look in the mirror, I cannot go there with him. So that's even tough. Though he's the leader of my party, I can't, right now, I mean, he's the presumptive nominee, I cannot support
him. What's the name of that absent, nobody's ever seen, lives in a cave congressman who represents Salt Lake City? I can never remember.
Jim Matheson?
No, not him.
Oh, yeah, he's a lobbyist.
You can't remember
he's a
either,
lobbyist,
right?
Now.
Yeah. Stewart said... On the floor of the House, this man is Mussolini. And then it's a week later where he says, well, I'm going to support El Duce. I mean, what has happened? What has happened to the soul? I'll tell you one thing.
It kind of reminds me of what the Bernie supporters say about Hillary.
Well,
will you get there eventually, Senator?
I think I'll have to, yeah. Because to me, it all comes down to the Supreme Court nominations, and I don't want Hillary making those. If I can vote for someone who's not named Hillary, and I think it would help if Trump would release like a list of 10 or 14 names of people he would consider for the Supreme Court. I think that would help.
So you think we got to throw the Supreme Court nominees into the political throw, because then Hillary will throw them in, and turn them into like
they were thrown in about 200 years ago.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Well, I'm just going to encourage you, Senator Weiler, to keep looking in that mirror.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Keep looking in that mirror and see if you feel good about
yourself. So you want Hillary as president.
You know what?
Because that's
not,
what it comes down to. I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm going to vote against...
I can wait her out better than I can have him in that office.
I'm going to vote against Hillary Clinton. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Hey, let's go closer to home. UTA. UTA is such how do you even describe this? This is an entity that has expanded the rail service in this
train
town.
Wreck?
Well,
that was a pun.
I know, but I'm going. They're award-winning. They've developed. We have the best rail system for a city of our size anywhere in the country. It polls very well in terms of its popularity for users and whatnot, and yet they keep making these public relations blows that hurt their reputation. Whether it's bonuses
it's nothing a trip to Switzerland will fix.
A trip to Switzerland, and then now it's the closing of meetings.
You see why everybody likes to sit next to Weiler during long, miserable, horrible committee hearings, because He's such a wise ass that he can
Switzerland.
He can make Senator Stevenson amusing. You know, I mean, we that like
word
that.
You can't say that word on the radio.
I said lass.
Okay. I mean, I'm just troubled because I think they've done overall a very nice job for this metropolitan area, but they are devoid of leadership right now. At the, you know, I mean, they don't have a general manager that has replaced Mike Allegri yet. And
it goes back, Natalie, to the system of governance, which is the most pork barrel, dumb way of picking people. So the mayors get to pick their friends to be on it, and then this person gets to pick their friend to be on it. So you end up with the worst political system and no accountability at all. At least if it was elected officials, you could say, out with them. But one after another, these sleazy land deals where people who know people on the board, and then these trips that are off to Switzerland. And they came back repentant. They probably talked to you, Senator. They came, the board members, they said, we're putting, turning over a new leaf. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. We're going to open it up. Well, you know what? Pull out the Lysol and start spraying these guys. What do? They decided all the working committees of the board, which is frankly where everything gets done. It's not in that final vote when the 400-page document of a policy or something is there. It's in those working committees. They're going to close to the press and to the public. You know what? This is not a little toy thing for you board members. This is actually public money. This is actually taxpayers' money. This is ratepayers' money. And not a dime of it is yours. You have no choice. It's awkward and uncomfortable. There's times we'd like to say in legislative hearings, everybody out, we really got to talk this over. Of course, the Republicans do with their caucus. But
yeah.
That is a bad way to run a public entity. And so I would hope that the board would just resign. And let's get a top-notch board, and let's start over again, because this is wrong.
Why don't you go run UTA? You know, public service is in your veins.
I'm looking at my calendar. I'm really busy this month. But, you know, David Burton was brought in as the new chairman of the board about a year and a half ago. I think he's taking steps. You don't turn around the Titanic, mm-hmm. you know, on a dime. And
it's complicated.
And I do think he's a great leader, and I do think there has been some missteps. And I think you'll see them reverse their position. I'm not even sure it's legal under the Open Meetings Act for them to close their board committee meetings, but we'll find out soon enough. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. But I do think David Burton is doing some good things there. I think UTA is always going to be criticized, and you know, this was another blunder, and it's you know, the 16th or 17th one in a row.
So. You know, the policy, just to wrap this up, Natalie, the policy and the board have been nowhere near the caliber of the organization and the people who work there and the drivers and the mechanics and the rest. And because of the boneheaded board and their inability to grapple with crises, they lost, at least in Salt Lake County, the confidence of the voters, and we're not going to get what is desperately needed for the future of UTA, not because it's not a good organization and not because people don't feel good about that, but they don't trust. They've lost the confidence of this board. That's why the board should leave. We ought to come up with another system for picking a board, because this pork barrel political stuff just has proved it doesn't work.
I want to nominate Senator Backus
to go run it.
No, just to be on the board.
Just to be
on
the board.
Can you imagine what a nightmare job that would be?
From the political center, I mean, I'm with you, Senator Wyler. I think David Burton's a fantastic leader, and I think we should give him time.
Yeah.
But hey, we've got other news. Davis County Prosecutor Troy Rawlings, he's wanting to probe Senator Lee and Senator Harry Reid. He's looking to have a grand jury investigation on the Shirtless Swallow issues. This is serious, heady stuff. I wanted to hear both of you comment on it.
Well, this is all tied back to the John Swallow, Jeremy Johnson, Mark Shirtless fiasco. These prosecutors...
A big, big black eye on this community.
But the bad guys got caught. That's why I'm never going to be on the jury. There's been a lot of evidence. These prosecutors have been collecting evidence for 4 years. And a lot of it points at Washington, D.C. And I think Troy Rawlings, who is a straight shooter, this guy, he's not, you can't bully him, you can't scare him off, and the Justice Department tried. But there's a lot of questions that are unanswered. You know, why did the Public Integrity Division drop you know, announced in September of 2012 that there's nothing to see here, when there was clearly stuff to see there, which the House, you know, the House Investigative Committee found, the Utah House Investigative Committee found. And there's a lot of allegations that Jeremy Johnson was trying to bribe Harry Reid. There's a lot of Harry Reid poker connections that have been revealed and trickled out. And the thing with Mike Lee, I don't think anybody is alleging that Mike Lee did anything wrong as a senator, but Jeremy Johnson, it has come out, was donating to Mike Lee's campaign early on, because a federal campaign can only take like maximum of like $3,200 from an individual. So he was donating $50,000 in different people's names to Mike Lee through John Swallow. And the question is, I think, that needs to be probed is, did Mike Lee know about it, or what did mm-hmm. he know, mm-hmm. or did he intentionally not know? But my guess is Mike Lee will come out of this okay. I'm not sure Harry Reid will, but
Jim,
we'll see.
You hear the term cover-up in these kinds of things.
You know what? Troy Rollins is either the bravest, most honest, full of integrity human being in our state, or he's a loon. Because what he, in effect, is going after indictments against Harry Reid and against Mike Lee and against a whole variety of people that, frankly, our Department of Justice wouldn't go after, and the state, I don't know how the state would even go after him, because it was the attorney generals involved. And I'm glad to hear that, because Senator Wyler represents Davis County. He knows Troy Rollins.
I've met him once.
If that's true, I don't understand how the Department of Justice, that went after Chris Christie's people for barricading a lane on a bridge because the mayor wasn't playing ball or something, or they did that in a matter of a month or two mm-hmm. when it became public, and then they went after that governor of Virginia. He was taking watches and gifts in exchange for using the governor's mansion to have parties. So I'm just saying, at that same period, the Justice Department said, you know what? The Mike Lee thing, the Harry Reid thing, we're not touching that. Nothing happened. We don't know. We're not going to do that. Give me a break.
So what Jim just described was an Obama's Justice Department that went after two Republicans and then turned a blind eye on a Democrat named Harry Reid. That's what's being investigated. And I think everyone listening to this show could understand why an Obama administration would not go after Harry Reid when he was the leader of the Senate.
Or Mike Lee, who's on the Judiciary Committee. This, I mean, I don't know what it is. I can't understand it.
This has the feel of a protected class, which is driving this
country. Well, let's see what happens to Troy Rollins.
Yeah.
And let me just
throw out there. If you did a Google search, Harry Reid came out in support of a bill that would have about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that would have cracked down on trading, on gambling online. And about 2 weeks later, he did a 180-degree flip-flop on his opposition to that bill. I think there are a lot of questions being asked. Who got to Harry Reid? Was he paid off? Why would he flip-flop on that bill? And all of this poker money is what Jeremy Johnson was processing at a bank in Utah for these day trading poker dealers in Las Vegas. So all of this, I think, will be fascinating to see
more
what comes
to come.
Out of this.
More to come. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm joined by Senator Todd Wyler and Senator Jim DeBacchus. Guys, it's time to go to gripes. And Todd, you mentioned you always have a gripe right ready to go.
I've got a gripe. I am so tired of libertarians in Utah coming into the Republican Party and saying, if you're not libertarian, then you're not conservative and you're not a real Republican. There is a difference between libertarians and Republicans. And, you know, libertarians believe in legalized marijuana. They're against the death penalty. Conservatives don't embrace marijuana freely and are in favor of the death penalty. I'm tired of libertarians telling me I'm not a true Republican because I'm not libertarian.
My gripe goes back to what we're talking about. Yep, Harry Reid, they ought to look at him. In a primary where there's a lot of candidates, early money is astonishingly important. And the fact is, 50 grand ended up from Jeremy Johnson into Mike Lee's early campaign money. And it got in there in a sleazy, deceitful, miserable way via John Swallow. And guess what? John Swallow was the bag man, the money man for Mike Lee. So if something needs to be looked at, somebody needs to look Mike Lee right in the face and say, did you know John Swallow had goofed up and laundered up the money you were getting? And if you didn't know, why didn't you know? Because you know what? We don't have much of a teeth in the media in this state anymore. And I'd like to see the little senator from Utah answer that specific question.
It's junior senator.
I meant little.
I was considering for a gripe that Todd said that you can't be a conservative and be against the death penalty, which is, I guess, why I'm a moderate. But I have some other gripes I was thinking about, but I just want to do a shout out for the University of Utah and the United States Olympic Committee that announced this week a deal where the university health care will be the medical health network for Olympic athletes. Just terrific for our state.
That's a gripe?
No, I'm turning it into a positive. I'm turning it into a positive because
that's a gripe for Natalie Todd.
Because I'm proud that you take something like the Olympic rings and the University of Utah and this community and do something good.
So what does that mean? All the athletes will get free health care?
Yeah, it means that 1,000 of the premier winter and summer athletes will be able to get their health care and their high-performance medicine here at the University of Utah.
Cool.
Pretty cool. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. The program is produced by Ross Chambliss. Thanks for listening.